The Obama administration has 18 months left to embed a performance-based culture into agency operations. New research from the Partnership for Public Service and Grant Thornton reveals the path to cementing that culture in the time the administration has left. Robert Shea is a principal at Grant Thornton, former associate director for administration and government performance at the Office of Management and Budget, and joins me now to talk about this work. Robert, thanks for your time today. How'd you go about collecting these five practices that we'll talk about here in a minute, and how do you know they're the right five for the job that has to be done in government? Thanks for your time today.
Thanks for having me, Francis. Delighted to be with you. In the past, we have done a simple one-on-one survey with performance improvement officers. This year, we decided to look at performance improvement councils, or the communities of performance management that exist in agencies throughout the government, to get a number of people together, find out what they were doing, and get their sense of what was working.
My takeaway from the beginning of this report is that the performance measurement and performance improvement effort that the administration started has been effective, but is maybe starting to run out of gas. Not that people are giving up on it or abandoning it, but just that there's maybe a perception, at least, of a drop in momentum. Do you think that's a fair takeaway on my part?
I think that's an optimistic view. Those we surveyed said that if they had to give a grade to the performance culture in their agencies, it was a C, and that is worse than it was last year. So you might say that the effort is slowing, but a lot of the evidence we have shows that it really hasn't taken hold in the first place. And that was why, you know, we could have just reported on the sky falling, but we wanted to really distill from what we were hearing those things that people thought were necessary or best practices that could really move the dial on building this performance culture.
So you've got five practices that you focus on in this work, and we have a link to it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. The first is to connect program activities to agency priorities. That seems on the surface to be a no-brainer. Why is it important, do you believe, to emphasize that?
Because really there's going to be a pull among policymakers, at least, towards policy. Those big issues that are making headlines instead of the day-to-day performance management. So if you want policymakers to pay attention, if you want leaders to care about this, it's got to be shown to be relevant to what the agencies, the administrations, congressional priorities are.
The second one is to get the analytical talent that you need. What kind of analytical talent do agencies need, and what's the disconnect between what they need and what they have?
So, as all of our work shows, hiring and retaining the talent you need to get any job done is difficult in government. Here, this is a fairly narrow set of skills. You need people who know the tools to available to crunch data, display it in a way that really shows what the major issues are, and then analyze that data for policymakers, put it in a context that highlights those decisions that need to be made.
You have a passage in here that says, one participant from USDA's Office of the Chief Information Officer recognized the department could benefit from data analysts with diverse skills, aggregating and analyzing the data, staff, and so on. It sounds like that's the same data issue in this particular specialty that we see more broadly across government. And the essential need is we need people that can ask the data the right questions to help us. Am I on the right track there?
Curious people with the ability to leverage the data we have and the tools we have to display it in a way that highlights the big issues. I think that's right.
The third practice that you highlight here, Robert, is to build meaningful relationships. And I wonder if you're talking within the performance improvement shops or performance improvement shops with the rest of the leadership of the agency, or cross-agency among performance personnel, or cross-agency among other people, or all of the above, or was there something I missed?
Yes. I mean, I think build relationships, determine what your stakeholders or customers, whatever you call them, need, and keep providing them the kinds of things that help them make trade-offs in the performance management conversation, be they money or people or just time. It's you know, the relationships are important if you're going to build the demand for this information.
The fourth one is, I think, the easiest sounding one and the hardest in practical application. Move from data to information. Everybody's got data. Everybody understands, I think, now the value of knowing what that data says and does. But translating that into something that somebody can look at and say, okay, now I can take this information and do this or that, is really the nut to crack, isn't it?
You hit the nail on the head. And in fact, today we hosted an event over at the Partnership for Public Service, and we polled the audience. It was about 75 people in the room and 60 watching on video, and asked them to tell us which of these five were they weakest. And this one was the highest by far. People thought this was their biggest challenge. It really is taking all the data that people have, making sure that it's valid and accurate. More importantly, that it's displayed in a way that facilitates decision-making, that highlights anomalies, focuses busy policymakers on the key things or risks that they need to pay attention to ensure they're achieving their goals.
I've had a couple of conversations with folks at agencies that are doing data visualization exercises, and when I first read about that concept, I thought, well, that's nice. You take the data and you make a pie graph out of it or whatever, and it sounds rather simplistic on a cursory level. On a deeper examination, I think I understood not just the complexity of it, but the importance of it, because that really is the nexus of having data and having it usable to do something with it.
That's right. And you know, we can, you know, it's hard enough to take the data and display it in a way that is attractive and accessible. But as we've seen recently, there's a lot of incentive to fabricate data. So you need to make sure that the process by which you're converting data to display is focused on a meaningful, honest conversation about performance and what we do about it.
Well, and we've seen, I mean, there have been books around for decades now about how to display information, not specifically government data, but how to display information in such a way to make it support whatever hypothesis you want to support.
That's right. You need to make sure that the unit you've got paying attention to this is looking for anomalies, and that you've got culture that sort of doesn't really punish failure, but has an open conversation about what we need to do to improve performance.
It's a lot easier said than done. The fifth mm-hmm. practice that you write about is demonstrating return on investment. I've talked about ROI and performance on the program a number of times. You and I have spoken about it on this show before. Are we getting closer to that being doable and recognizable to the leaders who need to recognize how performance managers are presenting that information, Robert?
No. We have invested millions in program evaluations, focusing on whether or not what we're doing is having an impact. Not much at all on whether or not what the cost of a unit of outcome is. So we don't really have great new insights into what it's costing us to achieve goals. I'm not talking about just budget, but all of the things that go into managing programs and administering them throughout the country. I think there are some events that will improve the situation. The Data Act in particular hopefully will give us a standard way of showing where our money is going, and that will take us a long way towards really understanding what our activities are costing.
When you did this work this year, you mentioned you've done this before. Were there things that you saw here that made you scratch your head, or did you get kind of the responses and reactions to the questions that you asked that you figured you would, given where we are today?
I remain really disappointed that we haven't moved the ball farther, which is exactly why we converted this report from a simple recitation of survey results to a guidebook, things that real practical tips that people can take to build a performance culture and drive improvement throughout the organization. So I guess I wasn't surprised, but I'm delighted at where we came out, which was a practical guide for people who really want to get this done.